So in the gospel today, we hear about the missionaries. Jesus sending the 72 people on a trial basis to mission. Because my heart is full of the mission that I just had, I just wanted to share with you that experience as well. So it was... By God's grace, I was fortunate enough to go to Nauru to give a youth retreat in the one and only Catholic parish, Our Lady Star of the Sea parish in Nauru. Nauru is a small island, 6 kilometers width. It takes 20 minutes on a motorbike to go around the island. 12,000 people. 1902, one MSC priest called Frank Fresnel, he came to the island. He was the first one to bring Christianity, Catholicism, into the island. And when I did the retreat, at the end of the retreat, one person, the leader of the Nauru Catholic youth, they were not just a youth kind of political organization, Catholic youth representing the government, things like that. He came up and said, this is the first time they had a youth retreat in that island. And then my theme was preaching the first day on self-esteem, second day on father's love, mother's love, God's creation, God's children, and the third day on inner healing and sin and salvation and forgiveness of the cross, and the last day on the beauty of Catholic Church and anointing of the Holy Spirit. The basic life in the Spirit seminar subjects that we see in the charismatic renewal. Funny enough, I was sitting with a lady and after the retreat, and she said, oh, these kids are just blossoming. They're all happy and full of joy. Thanks, Father Bonnie. And I said to her, praise the Lord. And then she said to me, you sound like a Protestant preacher. And I said to her, well, this is in the Catholic charisma. We can also have a relationship with Jesus, not the Protestants, you know. But that is, I was amazed because in Australia, we talk about formation, equipping the lay people. We talk about, you know, having new evangelization. Of course, the young people are all Catholic. Most of them are Catholic. They are baptized. But to me, my surprise when I talk to them about the personal love of Jesus, personal love of God to them in Jesus, they were like, can we have a loving relationship with Jesus? When I prayed over a young person, he told me this is the first time in his life a priest prays for him, let alone touch his head and prays for him. So much joy. The first day, I think it's the island culture. Whenever I gave them break for 10 minutes or 15 minutes, immediately they are coming with their pillows. They don't want to sit on the chair, they'll sit on the floor. 10 minutes break, they sleep. And then the first day, and also I was very scared to go there because there was one guy supposed to come and he couldn't catch the connecting flight from Melbourne to Brisbane and he missed the flight to Nauru. And this is here I am, all by myself landing there. No idea what to expect. They were, I think because of Bonnie Abraham, there is nothing Indian in that name. They were looking for a white guy. Then I saw this guy with the cross. I asked him, are you from the Catholic parish? And he said, oh, yeah, yeah. You the priest, Bonnie Abraham? Oh, yeah. Okay, come. So they had their hesitations. And I looked very short too. So they expected, Anyway, and they're all very, so they took me to the parish. And first day I thought, maybe they don't understand my English or they don't get it. But you know, there is no heart that Jesus can break. There is no wall that Jesus can go into, touch. The word of God, when it is preached, he opens up people's heart. When I preached about the forgiveness Jesus gives from the cross, the love Jesus gives, the Father gives, and the beauty of the Catholic life, on the final day after the anointing of the Holy Spirit, these kids are so joyful, full of freedom. They're just jumping around, posing for photos and wanting me to stay back. And you know, guess what? At the departure, when I was leaving, they're all sat together in the departure lounge and singing praise and worship. And I asked them, are you not ashamed? Said, one girl in year 12, she said to me, I'm not afraid of witnessing Jesus. And then I was walking into the flight, boarding the flight. I could see these kids lining up on the side of the airport, and they're singing in moments like this. I sing out to God. I sing out a love song to Jesus. It touched really my heart. I thought probably I will go back if Father can allow us and die there. And immediately, I started to ask people, are there more islands like this? There is 33 islands, Kiribati Islands. Maybe we should go there to bring the baptism in the Spirit. Then when I was there in the mission, you know, the people in Brisbane, they were praying for this. A community called Jesus Youth. They were fasting and interceding each day. The Melbourne people prayed for Thursday, Perth for Friday, Adelaide Saturday, and Canberra people prayed. There was so much prayer going on. And they told me, send us pictures. So I was here updating Facebook every night, you know, pictures. Then I was thinking of Francis Xavier, who been captured by the love of St. Ignatius Loyola in the university where he was studying in France. He was a roommate of St. Ignatius Loyola. And captured by the fire given to Ignatius Loyola, Francis Xavier decided, yes, I'm joining this madman. They won't go to Rome. In Rome, Pope says to Francis Xavier, go to India. If Francis Xavier never caught that ship from Portugal to India, we would never heard of, some parts of never heard of the Catholic Church. Of course, the Kerala people heard from the primary source, St. Thomas, where I come from. But if he has never caught, if Father Frank Fresnel never went to the island in 1902, they would never heard about Jesus. And the life, not just the name of Jesus, the life, the freedom, the joy, and the lifestyle Jesus brings, they will never hear about it. Many other countries where the missionaries took Jesus. No, took life. That is what John chapter 10:10. I came so that you may have life, life in abundance. We are not proclaiming some sect. What we are proclaiming that in Jesus we have the fullness of life as a human person. And that message is received when it is preached. And today we read in the gospel the same invitation of Jesus. Can you be my feet? Can you be my hands? Can you be my tongue? The same message Mother Teresa heard from the cross. I thirst. We have to be. We cannot but, just like St. Paul, preach the gospel. Woe to me if I don't take the message of Christ. In the history of Christianity, in the first four centuries, why Christianity spread so much? Of course, Paul was a pivotal character in that. But the other reason, say Canta La Messa would say, Father Canta La Messa would say, the traders, the business people, those who traveled, when they experienced Jesus, Christians, whenever they went for business, whenever they caught a ship for trade, whenever they went for holidays, they shared the joy they received from Jesus. And that is a 101 sharing, personal sharing about the joy they received from Jesus. And that is how in the four centuries, Christianity sprang up so much. Well, we live in a world many, many people haven't heard about Jesus. The only information most of the year 12 young people these days, the things they put on Facebook, the head of the Pope and a bull, or maybe. Things posted on Facebook, things they hear about in the news.
They don't know much about the church. They think church is the abuse place. It is not like the olden times. We really live in a world where we have to start from the beginning talking about Jesus or talking about God. God has a son. His name is Jesus. He loves for you. He died for you. Because that is the need we are living in. Many people don't know because the parents never passed on their faith. How things happening in our family? I was preaching about Eucharist one day. And I was praying, what should I preach? The Lord gave me one incident. I remember my desire for Eucharist came from my grandfather. If my grandfather never took me to church, I would never experience the beauty of the Eucharist. I remember when he received the Holy Eucharist, he will be praying. And I will be like, hey, what did he say? He said, shut up, I'm talking to the Lord. And then I remember whenever a priest blesses with the Blessed Sacrament, I'll be looking at the priest and things. And then he will push my head down, bow down, bow down. And I thought, what is happening? But he passed on his faith to me. I'm so grateful to him. How many of us passing down our faith? In youth groups, they come for a retreat with discipleship or summer school. The first time they experience Jesus. And I'm thinking, was there no one to tell them? Grandparents, if you have so much free time after retirement, please teach your children, grandchildren. Take them to church with you. Pass on the faith. That is what in 1 Corinthians St. Paul says when he talks about Eucharist. 1 Corinthians chapter, I forgot. 1 Corinthians, he says, I pass on to you what I received from my Lord. See, he received from Jesus. Now he passed on to you. And that is how we all came to know Jesus. We all came to know his love for us. There is no other way. The faith has passed on to us. I remember a story. Father Ken, when my first year, sent me to Karingal Court, which is to visit older people. I went with two other Papua New Guinean guys. You know, they're very big, you know. And I knocked at a girl's, lady's door. And she opened it. She said, I don't talk to dark people. And then, as you can expect from that generation. And I said to her, oh, sorry, I just got tanned. and she told me, okay, you can come in, the others two can go. I think she believed. What a terrible suntan. It's like 70 degrees. Anyway, but she told me, never talk to me about Jesus. She suffered a lot of problems in her family at the time of Holocaust. So she is now 86. So it's been 9 years since we met. First time she said, one day I was taking my diary with me. It was a diary from Tobin Brothers' funeral. It's a rather big one. And she said to me, is it your Bible? I said, no, it's a diary. Okay, I thought you were going to preach to me. I said, no Jesus, no prayer, just talk. Help me with my shopping and things like that. I said, fine. That relationship went for some time. And then one day she told me, Bonnie, can you give me a Bible? I gave her a Bible. Then afterwards, whenever I leave, she tells me, hey, you say a prayer to your God, eh? I said, I will. One day she had a knee operation. She told me, Bonnie, come. Put your hands on my knee and pray that I may be healed. And recently, day before yesterday, she asked me, can we sit together and pray? She's 86 years old. She's not baptized, but she heard about Jesus, and that's enough. That's all matters. Are we passing on our faith? Are we so full of the joy? Are we convinced enough that Jesus is Lord and he can bring
life. He can breathe life into any person's life. Are we convinced? Or are we so selfish we have to keep it for all ourselves? You know, one thing I realize is we do not have that. Sometimes we do not have that charismatic faith. That no matter what, God is with me. We worry too much. I do worry too much. But at the end of the day, God-given gift that God will never give me. The message Jesus tells the disciples to say, the kingdom of God is very near to you. God is with us every single time. He has given the Spirit right inside of us. This charismatic faith, once it is enlightened, when it is fanned into flame, even though we go through struggles, even though we have problems in our relationship, we still carry the joy. We still share the joy. The charismatic faith. The faith that God never leaves me. He's there with me. And he has given that into us. Romans chapter 5, 6, the famous word. The God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit. But I think I was doing two masses in Sydney this morning. And vigil mass was horrible because I'm used to the charismatic mass. It's so lovely. Everyone is laughing and jumping. And I went to this vigil mass laughing and jumping. I can see everyone is, I think it's a funeral mass. Jesus is died. We are going to bury him. I thought, my goodness, no life here. You know, then I thought, a thought came to my heart. You know, we all received Holy Spirit in our heart, but we locked him in our bottom. You remember the example Father Ken showed one day, a glass, and he poured some sauce into it. It went to the bottom. Sauce into it, it went to the bottom, then he stirred it up. You know what? Ever since our baptism, sometimes our Holy Spirit stays in our bottom. And he cries out, lock me, please unlock me, please unlock me. He is still in there. Sometimes we have to release him. Please, he is suffocating there. He wants to come out. He wants to come out through our feet, come out through our hands. We are the feet of Jesus. We are the hands of Jesus. There is no way Jesus can reach out to this world. I cannot preach this in a normal vigil mass. Maybe after a month I do preaching, once I can tell. But you guys are coming here, experiencing. We all together celebrate. Maybe it's time. At least one person you can bring to the 7 p.m. mass. That is the first missionary challenge to me and to you. To a person, you come with me. I will come with you for a drink in the pub. You come with me to the church. Don't drink too much, okay? I will come with you too. I will come with you to watch the soccer game. In return, you do me only one favor. Come with me to church on Sunday night. There we start. Give the love. Share the love. Being missionaries. Jesus, that is the heart of Jesus. He wants us to reach out to others because he's got the message. I have come so that you may have life and life in abundance. At this Mass, let us pray for the courage, the apostolic zeal, the charismatic faith, that we will not be afraid of anyone. Be only afraid of Jesus and answerable to him. And in his love, we will go out and become missionaries of his love. Amen.